For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Douglas Lloyd, and I'm giving the talk this morning because our teacher, Taigen Dan Leighton, is on sabbatical through September. So various members of the Sangha have stepped up to say whatever they had to say in his absence. And I can only hope that this does not steer you astray, but maybe even inspires your practice. So this morning I circulated... I've circulated copies of Case 26 from the Wu Ming Quan Legend of Koans. And this case is also Case 27, the Book of Serenity, which is the Book of Koans that's especially important in the Soto school of Zen, our school. So the case 26, is titled Two Monks Rolled Up Blinds. And the case is, once the great master Fa Yan of Qingyang Temple was about to give a teaching before the midday meal. He gestured with his finger at the blinds, and at that, two monks went to roll them up. Fa Yan responded, one gains, the other loses. So Wu Man, the Zen master who collected the koans in the Wu Ming Quan, wrote the comment that, tell me, who's gained and who's lost? If you obtain the eye of awakening, you will perceive how Fa Yan himself failed. That being said, don't try to fathom this in terms of gain and loss. And he wrote a poem, rolling it up, the great space is utterly clear and bright. But this open spaciousness does not accord with our tradition. When even emptiness is let go of, then not even the slightest breeze passes through the blinds. So I wanted to talk about this for a couple of reasons. One is, when a koan appears in two or three of the principal koan collections that have come down to us, I mean, there are others, but the big three are, you know, the Blue Griff Record, the Wu Ming Quan, and the Book of Serenity. I feel like there's a message that this is an important story and maybe you should spend time with it. And I've always thought of this as a brain cracker that also sort of caught hold of my imagination. This whole idea that one monk has gained and one monk has lost, that Fa Yan seems to be giving his approval to one monk. So it sort of grabs hold of something in me. And so, you know, there's the question about, okay, one monk, one gains, the other loses, which one? And what did they gain or what did they lose? Was there some sort of great awakening by one and the other, what? What did he lose? Did he lose, get rid of his delusions or something so that they're really sort of equivalent to each other or what? And how does Fa Yan know? Because all of the commentators on this koan are clear that these two monks get up and they roll up the blinds in exactly the same way. So you've seen these blinds before. They're not as popular now. They used to be, you used to see them in houses. They're just slats of bamboo, and they were connected, and then there would be loops of cord that would wrap around them, so you would just pull on a cord to roll them up. And that was a common way of letting in light and air in Chinese Zen monasteries into maybe even this century, certainly during the 20th century. So we don't know what that means, but that gaining this idea that Zen is somehow some sort of achievement that someone attains, sort of just, for me, it just sort of grabs something. It's sort of their deep-seated patterns in my behavior that capture that. So I'm an oldest child. So, you know, I grew up with lots of expectations about doing the right things in the right way for the right reasons, according to the right rules, to get to have the right profession and the right life. And then once you've ticked off all of that, it's probably going to be okay. So that isn't just at a macro level, right? I mean, that sort of thinking pervades everything. Certainly, I mean, there, you know, we always, moment to moment, hour to hour, day by day, we're coming up with these ideas. Oh, this is who I am. This is how my life is. This is how, what I'm supposed to do. This is how things are supposed to work out. So, I mean, my buttons are really pushed by four-way stop signs at intersections and people not obeying the rules of the road. In Chicago, that tends to be the right-of-way belongs to the car that doesn't stop at the four-way intersection. So I always feel this sort of twinge when I see that sort of thing. But, so, the question then is, is this awakening? Is this is it an achievement? Is it an attainment? And is that the way? Did the monk who Fayen seems to have approved of have some transcendent experience that resolves all of his anxiety and neediness and confusion about life and the meaning of life? Is that what that's about? And this other monk somehow is a loser, and we're supposed to, the point of the koan is we're supposed to figure out how all of that worked, what the gain is and what the loss is. Woman and others and masters who've commented on this koan have said, no, that's really not the point. Dongshan, the very great Zen master whose name is part of Zadong school, the Soto school of Zen, said that trying to understand which monk gained and which one lost is like trying to clean a lump of dirt with mud. And Wu Min, you know, in the commentary says, don't try to fathom this in terms of gain and loss. And his commentary is like that too. Rolling it up, the great space is utterly clear and bright. But this open space, so, you know, there's this image of the blinds coming up. And not only does light come in, so there's this metaphor for insight and understanding and knowledge, but also the barriers between inside and outside falling away. It's in a traditional sort of transcendent awakening experience, metaphor of transcendent awakening. But this open spaciousness does not accord with our tradition. When even emptiness is let go of, then not even the slightest breeze passes through the blinds. So this transcendent experience of openness and formlessness is not really the point. And so you have to ask yourself, well, then what is? And I have to say that we have to come at this at a very, not as a matter of attainment, but from a different standpoint. The fact of the reality of our lives, this life right now, where we're sitting in this room, you know, fans going, HVAC going off some time to time, this life is the reality of our life, and it is part of the limitless world that in Buddhism is sometimes called Dharmakaya. It's frequently called Buddha nature when it's talking about this, something we awaken to. Dogen calls this life, this experienced life within the great universe, Genjokuan. And So I think that the point of this koan is that our practice and our awakening is really coming back to the reality of this life here and now. And if we read through the koan, we can see how that's working, that we have to wake up to this life and everything that's in it. And that includes everything we experience outside of ourselves, our bodies, our posture, our sensations, our feelings of good or bad, our thoughts, our insights, and our delusions are all part of what is real. Our thoughts are part of what is real. So I think that if we walk through the story, it's a little different. The narrative is a little different from when we say that Fayyan, he's come up. It's before the midday meal. It's after the service. He's going to give his last talk before the midday meal, and he's ready to give his dharma talk. What is his dharma talk? He points at the blinds. We've seen this before, in most notably in the koan where the Buddha picks up a flower and doesn't say anything. And Mahakashyapa smiles, and at that, he's understood that the reality of this moment in this flower. And the Buddha smiles, and the Dharma is transmitted to Mahakashyapa. And that throws a different light then on this idea. Okay, the monks don't seem to have picked up on that. They said, oh, he's not pointing it at Buddha nature. He's telling us to open the blinds. So they run up there and they open the blinds, and Fayyan says, one wins, one loses. This isn't about a matter of one gains, one loses. It's a matter of enlightenment or delusion, all of our activity, it's part of this moment. One gains, one loses. He's explaining this is the fundamental reality, the fundamental fact of our life. Just being here, everything in it is this fundamental fact. And that pointing out to that one gains, one loses, two monks, is not different from the other koans and the other responses to questions in koans when Zen Master asks, what is ultimate reality? What is Buddha nature? And they'll say, the oak tree in the garden, dried shit stick, 3 pounds of flax. There's a long list or poems describing what's going on right now in front, in this world that the master and his students are experiencing. So I think that is the point of this story. That this is, it's deceptive. It is not a matter about approving a gain and disapproving of a loss, but saying that those are limited aspects of our life. Right now, in this moment, the truth of this moment is the fundamental point of our life, and that is what we have to awaken to. So that's not how we ordinarily live, right? We do live in, we're here, and sometimes we are right here, but other times we are caught up in chasing after what is good, trying to defend ourselves against what is bad, making sure that everything fits, is done, and fits the way it's supposed to, so that preferences become needs and concerns become things we're anxious about or afraid of or angry about. And the way things are supposed to be, these boxes, the intellectual boxes and definitions of how things are supposed to be, take over from it would be good or helpful or effective if things were like this, if I behaved like this, if this is what I did. That kind of behavior that we experience so often is a falling away from the reality of this moment. What Suzuki Roshi used to call things as they is, or things as it is. Right? Because that sort of thinking is self-preoccupied, enclosed in on itself. It's all about me, 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 thinking about me, my needs, what's going to hurt me. Am I being treated properly? Is the world working out the way it's supposed to? And it's not just that it's the content of our thinking and feeling is so self-absorbed and self-obsessed, but we end up, when we get caught up in that kind of thinking, we're partially distracted from what's going on. We're here. We certainly function. But we're also preoccupied with this hypothetical situation of how am I going to get this? How am I going to solve this problem at work? How am I going to fit something into my schedule? I can't believe my boss said this. We have fallen away and become obsessed with self-centered affairs. So our practice is not to try to stop that thinking, stop the anxious feelings. We can't. That's our karma. We have biological and social and personal historical reasons why we're going to respond to our situation in certain ways. But we can wake up from being caught up in that kind of thinking and attached to that thinking so that they do not go away, but they are just a part of the situation, and we can respond to the situation appropriately, taking into account these concerns that our thinking and emotions have presented. Those concerns and that thinking is part of what we are. And so when they arise, we recognize them. We don't try to cut them off, but we don't hold on to them. As soon as, if we've been caught up in thinking, this is what happens in Zazen, we get caught up in this kind of thinking, in all of the concerns, there's a crack. Suddenly we're back. Here we are. We recognize what kind of thinking is going on, but we don't grasp it again. We let go. We sit with it. We let it be here and continue or stop as it will. We're just here being in this moment. In this moment, we are participating in the limitless world of Buddha nature and Genjo Kwan. We're not closed in on ourselves in the same way. And that's what Zazen is. Zazen is just sitting upright and waiting for help and helping ourselves create these cracks in the thinking, cracks in the distraction, recognizing what's happening and being willing to continue to sit there. So Zazen is not about Zen practice and Zazen is not about becoming a good meditator or a good student who can sit in full lotus, really concentrate the mind, never get distracted, sit for a really long time and have mind-blowing experiences of reality. It's about dropping, letting go of and dropping this self-preoccupation, these anxieties, this neediness, these thoughts about how things are supposed to be, and just returning to this moment over and over again. That coming back to this moment, coming back to this fundamental reality, this fundamental fact of our existence, is the exercise of prajna, the exercise of wisdom, and it is the experience of awakening. So I'm going to leave it right there and see if anybody has anything to say. Thank you. Kathy?
This is a very concrete question, so maybe I missed the point. But it is interesting to me that to think of the blind rolled up and a bright looking out, you know, open space, and then to think of looking through the slats of the blind, you know, where you're getting a... It's muted. It makes me think about duality. You know, it's like thinking about seeing things as open and bright or seeing things from our own... how we feel in the moment, how our own reaction is versus being able to take in the multiple things that are playing a role in whatever the current situation is. But the fact that they use blinds, you know, and the fact that there is a visual of looking through blinds and it's such a contrast to an open window.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. The sort of diffused light and the fragmented view you would get through the slats before the blinds were rolled up is a good one. And I think that you can look at the image of the blinds being rolled up a little differently as well than Mumon doesn't do that. I mean, he emphasizes you roll up the blinds and the clear space pervades everything. But you still see that there is an inside and outside that doesn't go away. There's still a wall, and the separation has been lessened. It's not real anymore. So I think there's that image. Yes, there's clarity, but there's still... inside and outside. There are still things. This experience of awakening to this moment doesn't mean that somehow everything disappears in some sort of fuzzy oneness where I don't experience my life. That's not what's going on. Siddesh.
Thanks for your talk. Could you share your impressions of how the poem connects to the case?
I think that... Fa Yen is saying all of the different aspects of our life, all of our experience of our life is part of that fundamental fact of Genjo Kwan, of Buddha nature, of Dharmakaya. And so the experience of some oneness and limitlessness that someone might have, like the one monk may have had, it's unclear why he gained. But that's not the end point. That's just one more experience and one more limited view of the world. And so he wants us to go beyond when even emptiness is let go of. That's the awakening that he's talking about. That's when, you know, the breezes of thought and concerns and fears and hopes and are resolved. Thanks. Yes, Brian.
I guess one way to image this for myself is to look at the rolling up of the blinds as practice, as that's like you could see Zazen as rolling up the blinds. And in practice, in Zazen, in this room here today, one person may feel as if they've gained something, and one may feel as if they've lost something, you know, wasted their time and distraction or whatever. This is, you know, they're feeling depressed, or the other feels really awakened and happy. And it seems like Woman's comment is not necessarily so. It's not, what happens when we roll up the blinds in practice is not, our feelings about it are not important, and that they're both that there's gain is not necessarily gain. It may be just a feeling of happiness that's fleeting, and loss may not be loss.
Right. I mean, and it's part of what's real. It's just, it is what it is. And I think that, rolling up the blinds is important too, because Fayen seems to, he wants to make his point by saying, okay, now you have this spaciousness, that's not really the point. But I think to, sort of to your point, that rolling up the blinds means we're not in this enclosure anymore. We're not locked up in our hopes and fears and ideas, self-centered ideas about our experience, that we're not coming to the world in that way. There's a bigger world, and we're part of that. There's an opening of our experience when we let those personal concerns go. Let them stay, but they are no longer in charge, and they're not in the driver's seat. So I think I'm sorry I didn't think to make a copy of the case in the Book of Serenity, but I like the verse in the Book of Serenity that's the point of the koan is that pines are straight, brambles are crooked, cranes are tall, ducks are short. In the age of the ancient emperors, people forgot about both government and anarchy. Such peace, a hidden dragon in the abyss. Such freedom, a soaring bird sheds its tether. Nothing can be done about the patriarchs coming from the west. Within, gain and loss are half and half. Reeds go along with the wind, turning in the air. The boat cuts off the flow and reaches the shore. Spiritually minded mendicants here observe Fayen's method. So that emphasis on the pines are straight and the brambles are crooked. So very specific in things, you know, the straight monk may be a monk who's had some sort of spiritual insight. The crooked brambles, a monk who hasn't worked things out. Are Buddha is a point, and I also like it that there are some other phrases about that. I've forgotten what it is. It's about ducks standing and people standing, but we all fit perfectly into our footprints. It's just we are part of it. We are intimately connected, and we fit. It's like the box and lid fit the harmony of difference and sameness. We are intimately connected to this world.